God does all things well, does He not? If you really believe that, and you've listened tonight, then you already know that He's already speaking to you, to your heart, amen, and to mine. And He never speaks just to hear Himself talk, but He speaks to call all of us to action, amen, amen. If you would, look in your Bibles tonight in Ruth chapter number 4. Last night in the service, the Lord, thought it was the Lord, felt like it was the Lord, spoke to my heart, and just, you know, you preachers know how it is. Sometimes God speaks to you and you just have a sense of, uh-oh, that's going to happen, amen. We gathered in the altar last night and we're praying, and I just had that sense all through the altar that I was supposed to speak this evening. And sure enough, Brother Taylor came up to me after or at the end of the altar service and said that if Brother Norris could not come, he asked me to speak this evening. And so I did what the songs have challenged us to do tonight. I said yes. And as the Lord was speaking to me throughout the service, I thought, well, praise the Lord, if that's the Lord's will, I have something. And then as Brother Canner has told us this week, just throughout the day today, that all imploded. Amen. And I feel like the Lord's given me something, and I'd like to share that with you. I'd like to preach tonight on my shoe. Amen. Now, this is my shoe right here. Brother Philip Waldron, he's an expert shoemaker, shoe repairman and everything else. And that guy can shine shoes like you've never seen. Amen. After service, I need him to talk to me about shining these, I think. But he gave me this pair of shoes. He told me when he gave it to me, he's really, really proud of it. He found it at secondhand clothing store. And he bought these pair of shoes, or else his wife did, I don't know, because they're real good quality shoes. He bought them really, really cheap, just, $4 or $5, I think he told me. And he thought they might fit me, and sure enough, praise the Lord, they do. Amen. I'd like to preach tonight on my shoe. Now, if I ever do manage to get out from behind this pulpit, I'm kind of nervous right now, but if I do, you might notice me kind of hobbling around. It's because I've only got one shoe on. And if I didn't think it would make you mad, I was going to ask everybody here to take one of your shoes off. But like I said, Brother Randy Snow's done got us in line for two altar service to pray through over stuff. And I sure wouldn't want to add a third one to give you something else to pray through over. Amen. So you can all leave your shoes on. But if you're a young person in particular here tonight, and if you are seeking the will of the Lord, and you'd like to know, God, how in this wide world could you use me? If you want to take a shoe off, it might be good. If you don't want to, that's fine, but just every once in a while throughout the sermon tonight, wiggle your toes, flex your foot inside of one of those shoes, because at the end of the service, I hope that you'll make a decision. Some of us may have to walk out of here with one shoe on and one shoe off. I trust all of us, so we'll be able to walk out of here differently. Amen. Ruth, chapter number 4. I ain't never been a real good preacher, but because I do love being a missionary, I have preached some mission services or mission sermons from some pretty rare verses. Amen. Probably a lot of people wonder, how in the world can you get a mission service out of that, or a mission sermon out of that? Amen. But I ain't never preached out of the book of Ruth I don't think, for a sermon on missions. But today just felt like the Lord spoke to my heart out of chapter number 4. Now I hope, give you a real quick summary. I hope you all know your Bible pretty well. You know the story of Elimelech and his wife, Naomi. They were in Israel, and a little famine came there, and they figured they'd escape, and they'd run off. So they went over into Moab, and thinking they would get away from the famine. Well, as things wore on, Mahlon and Chilion, their two boys, they grew up and married wives, and Elimelech died. After a while, Mahlon, Chilion, they both died, and it left just Naomi from the original clan. She had two daughters-in-laws. One was Ruth, one was Orpah, as you well know. She said goodbye to both of those girls. One of them did, bid her farewell, and turned around and went home to her father's house. I don't know. If I'd have been there, I don't know what I'd have done. Being a young lady, especially in those days, going home to daddy's house might have been the safest choice as far as the world was concerned. But we all know about Ruth, the Moabitess girl who said, "I ain't leaving, but I'm going home with you." Amen. Chapter number 4. Now, Ruth went home. Naomi was an older woman, apparently not too keen or able to go out and work too much. And so it was up to the younger member of the family, Ruth, to go out and try to find some kind of sustenance. So she went out. She found some fields to labor in and gleaned and picked up in the corners here and there. And God blessed her, and God gave her favor in the eyes of one gentleman, Boaz. And we all know the story that he was kind of distant kin to Elimelech. And so there's the story that develops from that. You see, God had established in the law of Moses many, many years before this an elaborate plan for the disenfranchised folks of that day. God wasn't willing that any man's name or lineage be wiped out. And so even for the unfortunate dead, God made a way for them to live again. Amen. He fixed it so that if a man died and left no children, that his brother would marry his sister-in-law. And God's idea was to raise up children, and that those children then would continue the name of their mother's original husband, and that they then would carry on his family name down through the ages. Amen. So Boaz, in verse number 1, went up to the gate. He had in his mind to marry Ruth. But according to the law, he was not the next in line that was allowed to do that. It was up to somebody else. And he set him down there, and behold, the kinsman of whom Boaz spake came by, unto whom he said, "Ho, such a one! Hey, so-and-so." That's exactly what that means. Just watch his face. "Hey, you. Ho, such a one, turn aside. Sit down here." And he turned aside and sat down. He took 10 men of the elders of the city and said, "Sit ye down here." And they sat down. And he said unto the kinsman, "Naomi, that is come again out of the country of Moab, selleth a parcel of land which was our brother Elimelech's. And I thought to advertise thee," amen, "saying, buy it before the inhabitants and before the elders of my people. If thou wilt redeem it, redeem it. But if thou wilt not redeem it, then tell me that I may know, for there is none to redeem it beside thee, and I am after thee." And he said, "I will redeem it." Amen. Father, I ask you in the next few minutes, Lord, to touch me with your spirit. I ask you to give me your anointing. Pray, O God, that you would already, right now, begin to touch hearts. Father, we've been challenged in song, in testimony. Lord, it's been made clear to us that you are calling your people in these last hours of time to arise and to go and to obey your command to take the gospel to the world. I pray that right now you would give direction to those that are seeking. Lord, some perhaps that have agonized even in recent days as to, Lord, what can I do? I pray right now that you'd speak to them in Jesus' name. Amen. If you're going to redeem it. And he said, I will. I think I will. Amen. Now, the Bible does not tell us this other kinsman's name, and there's a reason for that. Number one, God's nice. It was a shame if the man would not have wanted to redeem it. And so, you know the story, I guess you do, that he didn't want to in the end, and so God was being nice to him. But at the same time, it was such a shame for the man not to choose to redeem his kinsman's parcel of ground or whatever the case may have been, that God was blotting this man's name out for all of eternity. Removing it from your mind, removing it from mine. If the children of Israel go back and study the Holy Writ, they'll never know who that man was because he would not redeem this woman and this parcel of ground. But at first the Bible says that he chose to redeem it. Amen. And then later on the story goes that as soon as he said, I will, then Boaz said, what day thou buyest the field of the hand of Naomi, thou must buy it also of Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of the dead, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance. Oh, I hadn't counted on that. And the kinsman said, I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I mar mine own inheritance. Redeem thou my right to thyself, for I cannot redeem it. Now this was the manner in former time in Israel concerning redeeming and concerning changing. For to confirm all things, a man plucked off his shoe and gave it to his neighbor, and this was a testimony in Israel. Amen. If the Lord will help me for a few minutes, I'd like to preach to you about my shoe. Amen. Now, this is mine. It fits my foot. It might fit some of yours. But really, it's not suited for any of your feet. You all have your own single shoe tonight that you'll have to decide if you're going to take it off, if you are going to put it on. Amen. Just 2 points, Brother Taylor. Praise the Lord. Aren't you happy? Amen. Brother Taylor, that's what he told me last night. He's telling me, Brother Rivers, no, you know, Brother Norris, if he can't come, I'd like for you to speak tonight. I'd like for you to preach. The only instructions he did give me was, but brother, you know, we're going to have Brother Pennington saying some things, and then we're going to have Brother Perry, and then we're going to have Brother Baker, and then we're going to have Brother Whitley, and you know, and then Brother Snow, he's got some things for the alumni to say, and then you know, we got that meeting after a while, so, you know, might not want to go very long, amen. And what I thought I had yesterday had more than 2 points, amen. But the Lord had mercy on me and Brother Taylor, and he just narrowed it down today to 2, and if the Lord will help me, I want to share those with you. First of all, God has a plan. Amen. I told you that God had already established a long time ago in his law that there was a way to save men and women from the shame. Amen. Save them from their names being blotted out of the history and the inheritance of the children of Israel. Amen. And you know, that's the way it is with you and me today. We have been called to help redeem the people, the lost of this generation. Amen. I got all worried today and I sat down and I had me a long piece of stuff that I wanted to tell you and apologize, but Brother Webb, he's helped me out on that apologizing this week. Amen. But I was going to tell you that I know this is not, you know, the picture here, and I know this is going kind of against the standard typical way of viewing it. Amen. But you'll know that here in a moment, so just I'll take my liberty if I may. Amen. But you know, I read this and it struck my heart today, and I began to weep before the Lord as I thought about what an obligation, what an opportunity that you and I have. Amen. I know Boaz represents the Lord, and I know only the Lord can redeem us from sin. That's very well and clear to everybody here tonight. But brother and sister, I want you to know, amen, that while God had a plan, amen, he had chosen already and was seeking a man to put that plan plan into action. Amen. Brother and sister, tonight we've all got a shoe in here, but I'm not talking about the piece of footwear that you've got on tonight, but I'm telling you that we all have an obligation given to us by God to join hands with the Master in the great task of helping the Lord redeem this lost and dying generation. Amen. But 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 9 said, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness. Amen. But His long-suffering to us, we're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come unto repentance. Amen. Can you not see with me tonight how that there again is a plan that God has? It's not God's will for any man's name to be blotted out. It's not God's will for any man's name or woman's name to be blotted out of the book of life. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come unto repentance. Amen. Hallelujah. 1 John chapter 2 said, He's the propitiation for our sins, but not for our sins only, but for the sins of the whole world. Amen. God has always had a plan, and His plan has always been from before the beginning. His plan has always been to bring every man, woman, boy, and girl to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Amen. John chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Amen. Why did He do that? Why did God bother to go to that great extravagant expense? Brother and sister, I think it ought to be clear to holiness people why. And that is because God longs to be reunited. Amen. God longs for His wrath and anger to be satisfied, that He might be brought back into fellowship. Amen. With those of His creation. Praise God. So God has always had a plan to save mankind. But God has chosen, amen, I know He chose His Son. I know it's the sacrifice. We all know it's the blood of Jesus Christ and His alone that can bring men and women back to the fellowship with the Lord. But brother, God has always been looking for a man, amen, to put it into practice and to be a hand and play the part of bringing men and women back to God, amen. Now you say, now wait a minute, Brother Eckert, you're really going to a far field here. The pictures of Boaz, and Boaz is Jesus, and He's the only kinsman redeemer, amen. But brother and sister, while I agree and I understand that, but I want you to know it was God's law, amen, that said it long before Boaz was ever born. God said, amen, that any man, amen, any possession that was lost, it could be redeemed by his nearest kinsman, whoever that might be, amen. And so the men in those days, they had an opportunity, they had the obligation, they had the responsibility to be the kinsman redeemer, amen. And so, brother and sister, we find that God even today is looking for a kinsman redeemer, if I may say so. He's looking for a man that will help Him in the task of reuniting Him, amen, and bringing lost people back into fellowship with God. 2 Corinthians chapter number 6, Paul wrote, and he said, we then, as workers together with Him, beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. Paul said, we are workers with Him, amen. I know Jesus paid the price, but God is looking for men and women to be workers with Him in the great task of evangelizing the world. Amen. 1 Timothy, that one of those books, amen, the one that they referred to tonight in the choir song, he wrote in chapter 1, verse 12, and he says, and I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that He counted me faithful, Brother Ben, putting me into the ministry. Amen. Paul's not being a bigot here. He's not being, you know, trying to lift up and exalt himself in his own name. But Paul is saying that I realize that God has counted me faithful, and God has given me the responsibility, amen, to work alongside of Him, to see men, amen, brought to salvation. Amen. Let me return here to Ruth for just a moment. This, hey you, this so-and-so, this, what's his name, what's his face, you know, depends on what part of the country you come from, what you would have called him, amen. But this man rejected the greatest offer that ever came his way in this life, amen. Now he had a chance right here. He had a chance to add to his great vast land holdings, and he was ready, chomping at the bits, ready to do such a thing as that. Amen. When he thought, now look here, I see a chance to really bring up the bottom line. Amen. When he looked at it and he said, I see a chance, amen, to really pad my account. He thought, I am willing to take a part in it. Amen. But brother and sister, when suddenly he realized that there was going to be a cost involved, when suddenly he realized that there was going to be some excess baggage that he had not counted on, amen, this man began to back up. And he said, well, you know, on further consideration, Brother Jerry, I see I just can't do it. Amen. I'm just not able. Amen. But brother and sister, I want you to know this man had a chance to rescue a lost woman. Amen. But he passed the chance up. Amen. He had a chance to redeem a soul that had been separated forever, amen, from their namesake in Israel, and he passed it up. He had a chance to put his own name right in the lineage, amen, of the Son of God that would be born hundreds of years down the road. But he said, I can't do it. I can't. I won't. Amen. Amen. He found some excuse. Some feeble, lame excuse, amen. Some flimsy, what he called a reason to say, I just can't do it, amen. And he could have brought back the dead hopes to life again. But no, he said, I won't do that, amen. He said he could have wiped away the shame, amen, from a fellow citizen's name. But he said, no, I won't take a part in that. He could have removed the blight from a poor woman's life. He could have been God's hand in action and salvaging, amen, what looked like was a lost cause forever. But he said, no, I won't take a part. I can't be a part of this plan. But brother and sister, I tell you today, it's not that he could not, but that he would not. He willingly chose sides against God's plan. He casually chose his own pleasant circumstances and, you know, just kind of living the way life was right then rather than risk his personal comfort that he might do some crucial part, amen, in saving some desperate heart from what was going to come their way, amen. Now, where's the shoe at in all of that? And certainly, where's the mission sermon? In it all, brother and sister, when this man had counted and calculated and devised his plan, and when he'd come up with his answer, the Bible said such was the custom in Israel. Amen. The Bible tells us that those folks in those days, in front of all the witnesses of the city, that they would take off their shoe, Brother Jarvis. Amen. They'd take off that shoe and lay it down there. Amen. Now, there were two things that could happen. If this man was the only one that could have redeemed her, in other words, if there was no way out of the bargain whatsoever, if the man then had refused to marry Ruth, then he would have taken off his shoe. And history tells us that she, since she was so shamed, and since he was the one condemning her forever for her family name to be blotted out, she could then rear back and spit right in his face. But she didn't do that. Because, thank God, he was not the only choice, the only hope that she had. And Boaz, praise the Lord, in the wisdom of the Lord, he'd built up the land deal from the beginning because he wanted in on this thing. Amen. He liked this girl. He thought, this is somebody I believe I could love her for the rest of my life. And so he told the land, and boy, he suckered him in right there, you know. But then he dropped, just nearly forgot there's a girl in with this deal. Amen. You say, now, he might have been married. Hey, you got to figure this out with God. I didn't write the law. God's the one that did it. Amen. So I ain't messing in all them details. That's just up to you to figure out when you get home. Amen. Maybe he had kids. Maybe that's what was it. Because he said, that was his excuse later. He said, now, I can't do this because it might mar my inheritance. Amen. In other words, he was saying, you know, I can't get involved, amen, in this deal because, you know, maybe I've got kids and you know, my kids and they're growing up and I've already divided my inheritance perhaps among some of them. And if I marry this woman, if we have more kids, how in the world am I ever going to back up and then, you know, reshuffle the deck and spread it all out one more time? I can't do it. I can't do it. Maybe had a wife, and about the time, you know, as soon as Boaz said, oh, yeah, there's this lady involved in the deal, maybe his wife went, and he thought, and he tried to be spiritual, and he thought real hard, and he said, oh, yes, biblical verse, I've married a wife, and I cannot come, amen. I don't know what his reasons were. I don't know what all the details were, and it really doesn't matter. I don't want to just heap more shame on the poor fella than what he's already gotten for himself. But whatever his reasoning was, this man said, I don't want to have any part to play in rescuing this family name. I don't want to do anything at all to help in the saving of this poor widow woman, amen, and her mother-in-law. And so he took his shoe off and he laid it down, amen. Now the Bible doesn't tell us here. Some folks say that then the other guy, Boaz, took his shoe off and they traded shoes and, you know, they all kind of went off. One of them, you know, I don't know. I don't know if they had different sizes. I guess they had to. They had different size feet, probably. And so everybody wore one of the other guy's shoes as they walked away. And that was forever, you know, known and recognized to be a sign and a symbol that these men have struck a bargain that lasts forever. Amen. But so he took his shoe off and he left it behind. You know, I really hesitate tonight. We have been presented some things this evening that I hope it stirred your heart. I saw Brother Whitley the other day, as soon as he got up here, and I said something to him, and he said, oh, yeah, Brother Chuck, he said, every morning, every day, a lot of times when I just wake up, open my eyes in the morning, he said, you know, these different pictures and things are flashing through my mind, memories of what went on there in India. I've been privileged to go down there to Guatemala. I've seen Brother Pennington, Sister Pennington, their family. I've seen them in action. I know some, not all, but I know enough about the sacrifices and the costs that it is for them to do the work of the Lord that when they stand up here and talk, I'm reading way down between the lines, and I know, amen, that it's not an easy matter for them. But you know, when I look at what so many have spent and given and paid to serve the Lord, when you've been presented like I have amongst you tonight, Brother Taylor, and the vision, the ministry of Ozark Christian Missions and their desire to reach the world with the message, amen, and train men and women to get up and go forth with the gospel, not only train us to get up and go with the gospel, but to train people in those foreign lands that they can then learn and know and go forth with the help of the Lord. But we have been presented those things tonight. And if we could sit here in a service, get up, have a great altar service, and go home and live happily ever after without having realized that, wait a minute, they weren't just showing me what somebody was doing, but they were asking me to make a choice about whether I was going to put that shoe on or if I was going to just walk out with one shoe only. Amen. Saints of God, can I tell you that tonight, every one of you, even if you're fully clothed on your feet, every single one of you tonight will have to make a choice as to whether you're going to leave both shoes on or whether you're going to take one off and leave it behind in this Kessler Auditorium. You see, what I'm talking about is that we've all been asked, not only, amen, like this gentleman from the law of God, but we have been asked, amen, by the Holy Spirit tonight, speaking to our hearts of, will we arise and take our part, amen, in reaching and evangelizing this world for Jesus Christ, amen. Some tonight may not surrender to the call to preach, amen, simply because, like this man, maybe you see how this this is going to affect your plans for the future. Maybe you can see how this is going to play out, you know, on the panorama of what you have envisioned for your life to be. But brother and sister, let me ask you tonight, please, don't make a foolish decision such as that based upon things that you really know nothing about, because God alone knows what He has planned for you. And He knows well that if you would obey and follow Him, surrender everything in your heart for the service of the Lord, that He would take you where you never imagined going before. Amen. Money, it always takes that. I was talking to a man the other day, and I was asking him about buying something real cheap, and he said, "Oh, brother, what you need to do, you need to buy something else that was a whole lot more. Like, why don't you just do that?" And I just looked at him and I went, "Amen." He just laughed because he's a preacher and he knows. Amen. It takes money to do things. Can everybody say amen? So maybe a month ago, maybe it may not have been clear to you. Maybe you were still like this gentleman here in the scriptures, trying to figure out how it might mar your, amen, inheritance down the road. But does God need to shave a few more trillion dollars off of the Dow Jones? Does He need to just kind of take one sweep of His hand and wipe out, you know, how many trillions of dollars of mortgages in the United States? Does God have to, you know, send the Dow plummeting one more time for us to realize that everything we amass in this world will mean nothing in a matter of days and hours? I mean, look what the Bible says, amen, about that great city, Babylon. What in what? In 60 minutes, it's all gone. And you have tonight one chance to put not your foot, but to put your heart, mind, soul, and body into the kingdom of God and say, "I will arise and I will be a part of those who will work with the Master to redeem this lost and dying generation." It's easy to lament the just total dissipation of billions of dollars that are gone. Wachovia, I think I read it today in the headlines, Wachovia. Great, I don't know if they got any out here, but back east, there's a gob of Wachovia banks. Amen. There's a big chain out east. Great chain all over the United States. Big, one of the biggest banking systems that there is. Wachovia, just today, another $23 billion. Gone. What's happening? I don't know. I don't have the answer. I'm not telling you just sell everything you have, you know, and put it in the offering plate. I'm not telling you to do that. But I am telling us tonight that God is wanting all of us in these last few hours of time on planet Earth to make a choice and a decision and say, will I count all those millions and billions of souls as worth it and then pay the price, or will I stop and think about how this is going to affect me? I mean, you know, Bible school students, some of you have already gone through this. I mean, you know, people are pulling and tugging and jerking on you to go to secular college and, you know, and learn your real trade first and learn something and get you a real diploma and go out and, you know, so in case you ever have to work like the real world, you know. My wife, my sister-in-law, they're both here tonight. Those two girls, out of all of their family, all of their cousins, their grandmother, pulled, their aunts and others pulled and looked down at them and told them how badly they just needed to go off to a real college and get a real degree. But the thing was, they didn't know. Now some of them, they're up to here in debt. Some of them have lost their finances. Some of them have lost their future. Some of them, their families are torn apart because they chose to say, "No, I better plan for my future rather than plan for the future of God in this world." Amen. Saints of God, tonight I ask you, Would you? The Bible said this man was the nearest kinsman. He had the right and the duty, but he would not do it. And I ask you tonight, would you choose to not leave your shoe behind? Many of you know Brother Joe Barraclough. Brother Barraclough and myself responded several years ago to the burden that the Lord birthed in our hearts to establish Global Missionary Task Force. And several ministries we've joined together, individuals that have come together under one missions organization to help to eliminate a lot of the difficulties and things for people that do go out as holiness and independent missionaries. And two of those ministries that have joined with us in GMT, you Bible school students, all except for the freshmen, should know them, do know them, and you freshmen really, really, really badly need to get to know them. The two young ladies that graduated right here from Ozark Bible Institute, Sister Jennifer Norman, Sister Ann Beening, they both graduated here. God opened the door. The work that had been opened up, the ministry that had been opened up, church that had been founded there in Panama in the jungle, those two ladies, single ladies, chose to leave everything here behind, and they've gone and given their life, all of their energies, they're pouring it into the work of the Lord there in Panama. Amen. No electricity. Oh, Anson knows about those 3-inch scorpions, so do they. They know about those 4- and 5-foot Fertilance poisonous snakes that drop in the canoes, you know, from the overhanging tree branches as you're going down the river. Those girls know what it is to live not in high heels, but to live in rubber boots up to your knees and slosh and slog around in that filthy mess all the time. And I have never talked to them except that they were excited to be able to serve the Lord. Tonight, I was getting ready for the service. The phone rang. I looked at the number and I realized, uh-oh, this is from Panama. I answered the phone. Sister Jennifer said, Brother Akers, I know this is Convocation Week, and I'm sorry to bother you, but do you got a minute to talk? And I thought, oh, Jesus, help us now, Lord. Not panicking, you know, but just my heart is concerned about what they go through. They're already given up so much to serve the Lord. I don't like to see them have to go through other things. I said, what is it, Sister Jennifer? She said, well, do you know a guy named Moises? Anyway, she told me who he was, and I remembered his family. He just lives half a mile down the jungle trail from where their little cottage is. And he went to town the other day, down the river, got in a fight, and got killed. And they have a custom there that they don't bury him for like 4 or 5 days. And so anyway, he's over now at his grandma's house, which is down the road from him. We've held services in their home, in that grandma's home before. Amen. Know that family very well. But she said that they asked the pastor to have a service over there one night. And then the next night, while the body's still there, they asked another brother to hold a service there. And she said, tonight, Brother Tucker, it's my turn. Tonight I'm supposed to hold a service over there. She said, what do I tell them? She's not a preacher. She's not a pastor. She's not called to be an evangelist. She's just called to be a servant of the Lord. We talked for a little while there. I couldn't help but think, Brother Taylor, both of those girls, you were here the whole time when they came, when they went through school, and after they graduated. Both of those girls, Ozark Bible Institute, has played a primary role in where they are today and what they're doing today. Both of those girls have stood around these altars. I've seen both of those girls weeping and crying and praying, wondering, Lord, what do you have for me? But I've also seen both of those girls make a choice to slip that shoe on. Theirs happens to be a rubber boot.
but it's all the same. And they've said, we'll go and we'll serve him. There's how many missionaries stood up today? I don't even know. Most of them, as far as I remember today, most of them graduated or came right here out of Ozark Bible Institute. What is this? Except that God has moved and is moving right now around this school because he is wanting to know, are there men and women, kinsmen to their lost brothers and sisters and friends and family in this lost world that will say, I'll put the shoe on and I'll stand and I'll go in the stead of the kinsman redeemer and I'll pay my part to see them brought to the saving knowledge of the Lord. I get accused of trying to call people to be a missionary and I don't do it. Well, I tried one time on one guy. Amen. Whew, he got mad. Amen. That's when we were in Bible school. 15 years later, he became a missionary. Praise the Lord. So I won in the end, I guess. No. Amen. Brother Mark Crosser, today. Brother Martin, I don't even know where Brother James Martin is. You know him well, brother. You know what him and his family have gone through, what they suffered, and why? Because they were unwilling to just sit idly by and leave one shoe off and say, I don't want a part of work in the kingdom of God. The choir sang tonight, I will choose to serve him. It's all we're asking you to do. Young man, young lady, if you don't know what God's calling you to do, choose today, if he speaks to you, to put the shoe on and say, I'll be a part of the harvest. Brother and sister here, you may be not called to be a missionary. You may not be called to go far away overseas. But choose tonight to put the shoe on and say, Brother Taylor, I'll stand with you in Ozark Christian Missions. I'll help to send. I'll help to build. I'll help to plant. I'll help to train and establish souls in India and in Sudan and in Guatemala and in all the rest. Now, your shoe is loose enough. If you don't want it, if you don't want a part, you can all slip them off. But if you do want to stand with the Lord, fasten it tight and say, I'm going to serve him. Brother Taylor, some people have smirked and said, aren't they really dreaming big? Amen. How many of you believe the Great Commission to be the will of God? You truly, honestly, sincerely believe it to be the will of God? If I don't know, I'll just leave it up to you, but if the Great Commission is the will of God, if this really is in the Holy Writ of Scriptures, and that's really what God asks, then OBI and OCM, Ozark Christian Missions, they're not dreaming too big. They're not making too big of plans. Brother, you're making too small of plans if this is really true. I know it's true. John, you know it's true. We all know that it really is true. So today, what shoe will you wear? Would you stand? Jesus. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Jesus, help us right now. Very quickly, there's some folks here tonight. They're saying, I've been struggling, I've been praying, I've been seeking the Lord, and I've been asking him, Lord, what do you want me to do? And you would really like to know tonight if the Lord's calling you into full-time ministry or not. I'd like you to come to this altar. Come very quickly, if you would. There's no commitment. Nobody's calling you. But if you have been praying and struggling and wrestling in your soul and you really want to know, Lord, I got to know, what do you want me to do?
I invite you to come. Young or old, it matters not. Maybe you're here tonight and you know you're not called to go. You already settled that. You know that's not God's plan for your life. Praise God. But if you're here tonight and you'd like to say, but I know it is God's will to win the lost. I know it is God's will to train nationals all around the globe so that they can carry a message of truth and holiness to their own people. And I want to put on that shoe and I want to be a part of that. I want to invite you tonight. Would you come? And let's lift our hands. Let's begin to seek the Lord. If you want to pray with some of these young people, they may be from your church, Pastor. Saint of God, they may be your son or your daughter. Come and pray with them. But everyone, if you would like to be a part and put on that shoe and say, I will serve the Lord and I will be a part of His kingdom and I will help redeem my lost neighbors, I invite you to come tonight.
As my Father hath sent me, so